You guys ready to get in the Word today? You guys ready to get in the Word today? We're in PTSF, post-traumatic stress freedom, is what we've been talking about the last few weeks. And we're going to continue that idea today, talking about overcoming and redeeming triggers. Say overcoming and redeeming triggers in Jesus' name. Kids are dismissed if you haven't gone already. I think I saw some people leaving. I assume that's what it was. Hopefully they haven't walked out and got mad yet. That'll come later, okay? Let's read the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 15 we're going to read today. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Say, he's in me. Lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus, raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I love that so much. I'm going to say it one more time. All, say all. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this moment that we have together right now. And Holy Spirit, I ask just for your supernatural grace, your supernatural presence, your supernatural ministry and anointing, God, to move in this time together that we have. Do more in these few moments by your presence, by your chain-breaking anointing, than God could ever have been done through a lifetime of work, Father. I thank you for that kind of grace and that kind of word hitting our hearts today in Jesus' name. Why don't you put your hand on your belly somewhere? Put your hand on it, because that's where we speak to. If you're at home, put your hand on your belly somewhere and just repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you guys are into Twitter. I don't really do anything on Twitter, but I found this interesting. I don't know if you know this, but on Twitter, I don't think it's on the other like social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram. Maybe it's on Snapchat. I don't know. I drew a line in the sand a long time ago and said, Instagram is like as far as I'm going down the social media rabbit hole. I did say that 5 years ago. Last week, I started a Snapchat. No, I haven't done that yet. But I don't know. I might. Who knows? Anyway, on Twitter, you can actually change your settings to give yourself words. If you have words that trigger you, they're called trigger words, you can actually change your settings on Twitter to where any word, it almost works like a hashtag, any word, any post that has that word will be blocked from your feed if it's something that is a problem for you. And you can also now, there's on this social media etiquette, you're supposed to, if you're talking about a triggering subject that might be a troublesome for people and that might make people feel uncomfortable, you're supposed to actually, I guess, apparently, proper etiquette is to almost like a hashtag, there's like a trigger warning thing that you say like TW and you put a word in there that to let everybody know, hey, this is a trigger, this if you have a problem with this subject matter, scroll on, don't move past this. And all of us have these things to one level or another. We have triggers in our life, something that'll happen that will trigger an emotional response, a word, a phrase. It can be a smell, it can be a taste. Well, we have triggers. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. You know what I mean? Like right now in the morning, I love this time of year. Like when you get up in the morning and it's like dipped into like the low 50s, you know what I mean? There's like a nice fog in the air. You know what I'm saying? You kind of smell like you get that scent and just that feeling of like autumn is just around the corner. You know what I mean? And for me as a bow hunter, man, that just triggers all those memories of getting up early and packing out to the woods and having an adventure and looking for, man, that's a great thing. For some of us have triggers that elicit bad responses, not so pleasant, uncomfortable responses. Now, I'm just going to trigger warning here, guys. I might kill the whole room right now. How about this for a trigger? How about this if you hear this word? Steelers. You hear that? I knew, Missy, I was hoping you're going to be here today in person because I wanted to hear, that was like a guttural reaction. especially if you watched that game last week. How about this? How about this? Extra point. Again, can't even control it. It's just coming out. You know what I mean? To trigger, right? To trigger. How about this? How about this? Because we've probably all developed some new triggers over the last couple years as we've all lived through these wild times that we call this great pandemic and everything that's been associated with that. How about this? How about this? Social distancing. Now we chuckle, but it's like, doesn't that just make you feel like, you can feel however you want to feel. You feel however you want to feel. Nobody's judging your feeling, but that's going to elicit a feeling. How about this? How about this? Masks. Oh, yeah. How about this one? Somebody said, uh-uh. How about this? Again, I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying it elicits a feeling, right? Sure. How about this? E-learning. All the parents are like, oh, God, help us. You know what I mean? Okay, so those are examples of triggers. You hear that word, and that elicits a response in your life. And those are some pretty actually mild examples of triggers, depending on what level of response or even what level of trauma some of those words might have caused you. For Missy, that game last week was probably a traumatic event, so she doesn't want to hear anything about extra points or the Steelers for a very long time. And I'm sorry I had to take you that place again, Missy. You know I love you, just for an example for the gospel, okay? And so we have, here's the thing. In life, we don't have Twitter settings that we can just go to and adjust and make all of the triggers disappear from our world. Amen, somebody? We don't have any words that we can just program in and we're just gonna be blinded and be immune and be that are gonna be muted in our life if they cause a problem. We cannot necessarily hide from the things that trigger things in our lives. So what I'm gonna have to do is I'm gonna have to understand and I'm gonna have to learn how to overcome and how to redeem those triggers so that those triggers don't ruin my life. Amen, somebody? And there's some of you in this room right now, and I'm with you. I'm in this fight with you, and I'm in this journey with you. There's some of us right now that we have things that happen that trigger responses in our lives, and it literally has ruined relationships. You've had triggers, and my response and our response to certain triggers, certain situations, certain things have ruined days, have ruined meetings and moments that were supposed to be wonderful, beautiful family times that turned into terrible memories because something triggered something. You have relationships that have been broken because we couldn't respond properly to triggers, and we cannot live life if we're going to be successful and if we're going to actually experience what Jesus said he has for us, which is abundant life Jesus says he wants for us. Listen, we can't do that if we are a slave to our triggers. Amen, somebody? You follow me? So we can't ignore them. We can't avoid them. We have got to figure out how to overcome them and hopefully redeem them. Now, here is the problem with triggers. Let me give you a definition for a trigger, okay? A biblical definition, I think, for what we might call a trigger, okay? Listen, triggers are simply this. I think we can, I know this is might be reductive, and I know it's not always this simple, and I know there's a lot going on that wraps into it, but here's at the very core, okay? The very core, triggers are this. Triggers are a temptation. Listen now. Triggers are a temptation to be ruled by my emotions instead of ruled by faith. Okay? You follow me? Now listen, I am not saying that you have not experienced a trauma in your life that should not have elicited a trigger. I'm not for a single moment thinking, saying, pointing a finger, or judging in any way, shape, or form and saying that the thing that triggers you is no big deal, and that's not what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, whether it is a valid trigger that has been well earned or whether it is something small like a football game, listen, it's a temptation for me to allow emotions to rule my life instead of faith. Amen? And that last scripture we just read in Romans 8:14, what does it say? It says, those who are led by the emotions of your heart are the sons of God. Is that what it said? No. If you're shaking your head, you missed the question. Listen, let's put the scripture back up here. Let's see what it says. Did it say those, Romans 8:14, please. Did it say those who are led by their emotions, those who are led by their triggers? Can we get Romans 8 back up there? Romans 8:14. Can we get it? We can't get it? The one before that. It is in there? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't see it. all right, let's see. Verse 14. For all who are led by what? Spirit. All who are led by what? Spirit. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So if I am living my life and allowing triggers to derail me and to get me off the path. And to listen, I am actually being ruled by my emotions. And I've got to figure that out. The problem with triggers is that it allows me to be ruled by my emotions and it doesn't allow me to be ruled by the Spirit. And here's one thing you need to understand. This is psychology. This is what people who study the brain and brain activity would tell us. Listen, every time I respond to a certain word or a certain situation, my response literally creates a rut in my mind, okay? In the way that my brain processes the world and deals with information, okay? So I said, I'm gonna keep picking on you, Missy, I'm sorry. I said Steelers, and Missy was like, ugh. And what just happened is a rut was created in her mind, and guess what? The next time I say Steelers, it's going to be even more automatic and more simple for her to fall into that rut and respond the same way, because when you slip into a rut, it's because there's been a well-worn path and groove that's been grooved there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is this. My response today, how I respond to stress, to trauma, to triggers, how I respond today creates a rut for me to slip into tomorrow. You follow me so far? Okay. So for me, if I say about Justin Bradley's life, and then you can pray for my family and my wife. For me, a trigger is when I walk into the house or walk into specifically a lot of times the kitchen, and there's just clutter all over the counters. I don't care if it's clean. It can be dirty. That doesn't bother me that much. When there's just stuff thrown all over the place, that, God help me, triggers me, okay? And I just start thinking, why doesn't anybody care about life? Like, does anybody care at all? Does anybody even love me at all? These are the things, this is really, and so here's the thing, I can be triggered all day long, but the problem is often in how I respond to that trigger. So I come in, I'm like, oh my God, whose crap is all over the place? And I start yelling at people, I start starting to fight with people, and I start, I'm just like, probably this is more female part of my life than anything else, but I may not say anything, I might just sigh, and just start straightening stuff up, but I don't really straighten anything, I just shove it all into like one manageable pile that is okay for my brain, I don't clean it, you know what I mean, because that's just what I do, like I didn't make the mess, so I'm just putting your mess, but anyway, that response it's so easy to fall into that rut response, right? And every time I do it, guess what? It gets easier and easier. But here's the problem. I'm making everybody else around me miserable because I'm subjecting them to the same things that bother me. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. And every time I respond, how I respond today, my response today creates a rut for me to slip into tomorrow. All right. Back in the 1800s, between the years of like 1820 and 1840, do you guys remember the game, the video game? Some of you 80s, 90s kids will remember this. Remember that computer game that you got to play if you got all your homework done in school called The Oregon Trail? How many remember The Oregon Trail? Did anyone ever actually win or beat The Oregon Trail? Tracy did? Freaking nerd. Where is he? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know anybody that ever actually beat the Oregon Trail, man. Good job. These young kids back here, you guys had a cheat code or something. You didn't just play the game straight through and get that. Don't give me that. Anyway, so that was a real thing that happened. There was something called the Oregon Trail between Missouri and Oregon as settlers began to settle out west. And do you know that so many millions of people and so many millions of wagons ran across the same area of ground that right now today, this is wild, 200 years later, you can still see places where the Oregon Trail wagons made ruts in the earth. You can literally still see the exact same trail some 200 years later that our ancestors and settlers wore past. They wore such deep ruts into the ground. And I know in my life, and I would be willing to bet that in some of your lives too, we have some real well-worn ruts in the way that we respond to things that might, quote unquote, trigger us. And I just believe in the name of Jesus. And listen, even in the last 2 years, as we've lived through 2 going on 3 years of pandemic and all the other social unrest and all the things, remember, we're calling this is, I'm not making this up, sociologist, I don't know what, anthropologist, the people who are smarter than all of us and have letters after their name and study human culture and existence, they're calling the last 2 years is known as a global traumatic event. Every single one of us have experienced trauma on one level or another. Some of us deeper, some of us not as deep, but it has affected us more than we probably even realize, okay? And through that, even the last 2 years, there have been some ruts worn into the way we respond. There have been some triggers that have caused ruts to be worn into our soul and worn into our mind. And I just want to prophetically declare in Jesus' name, whether you have ruts that have been worn into your mind from years past trauma, or whether it's been from the last couple of years, whatever it is, I believe in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants his sons and daughters to blaze a new trail in our lives. Amen, somebody? God doesn't want us slipping into the same old ruts and just keep getting triggered and keep responding the same old way that causes the same results and causes the same damage and the same trauma. Man, we can blaze a new trail. And the question is, how do we do that? We're going to do that by overcoming our triggers and by redeeming our triggers. Now, in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to give you some stuff that's going to be super easy for me to say, but it's going to be really difficult, and it's going to cause some real self-discipline for us to enact in our lives. I'm just telling you that right now, okay? You ready for it? Yeah. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing we're going to do is I'm going to overcome my trigger with truth, okay? Overcome your triggers with truth. Everybody say it together. Overcome triggers with truth. Now, there are two types of truths I want to talk about that we can use to overcome our triggers when we feel ourselves slipping into the rut, when we feel ourselves triggered by an emotional response. The first truth that I need to overcome a trigger with is I need to overcome my trigger with the truth of God's word. Amen? I need to overcome my triggers with the truth of God's word. Now, let me share this real quick. Listen. Feelings, how you feel, is completely real, okay? Sometimes, and I've probably been guilty of even looking at this way. Feelings are not bad. Feelings are not good. Feelings are just there. They just are. Amen, somebody? And you can feel however way you want to feel. Feelings are a lot like money. Money is not bad or good. It is just a thing that you have to deal with, you have to manage, you have to steward, okay? You follow me so far? No feeling you feel is evil inherently or bad or good. It just is a thing that you feel as part of the human existence. In fact, there's something that God created and put there. And we have to manage and steward those, okay? Now listen, so feelings, however you feel that way. And it's real, okay? If you feel alone, you feel that way. If you feel depressed, you feel that way. If you feel like someone is ignoring you and not valuing you, you feel that way, and it's real. You follow what I'm saying? Feelings are real, but feelings are not always true. You follow what I'm saying? And if I'm going to overcome my triggers, and if I'm going to manage my emotions, I'm going to have to understand that I can really feel a way about something, even though the way I feel may not be true. I feel like Ohio State football fans are the worst fans of any sport throughout the human history of existence, okay? I feel that way. I feel that deeply in my soul. I'm sorry. As a Michigan fan, that's the way I feel. I feel that way. I dislike Ohio State fans more than I dislike Ohio State, the team. If you're an Ohio State fan, I love you. I dislike you during football season when Michigan and Ohio State play, but I love you, okay? Now, I may feel that way, and that really may be the way I feel, and most of us know that it's probably true, but the reality is that it's not true. It's not true at all. Ohio State fans are wonderful people, okay, that for whatever reason, Jesus died for them too, and we just have to accept it. That's what it is. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's not. That's not true. I might really feel that way, but it's not true, and I've got to confront my feelings, which are very real and maybe even very valid or invalid, whatever that's for another layer of understanding and decision-making and discernment. But I've got to first of all say, hey, I really feel this way, but it may not be true. Amen? You may really feel like all hope is lost. And I need to confront that feeling of hopelessness with the truth of God's word that says, you have Jesus, the hope of glory, on the inside of you. We always have hope in Christ. Amen, somebody? Okay. I might really feel like I am all alone and there is nobody there. And that's a real feeling. But I need to confront that very real feeling with the truth of God's word and Jesus, who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. When you call upon my name, I am there. I've got to confront that feeling, which is real, with what is actually true. You follow me so far? Okay. So confront feelings, confront triggers. When I'm beginning to feel that way, I need to confront that feeling with the truth of God's word. Hey, I'm not alone. Jesus is there. I'm not hopeless. I have hope in Christ. Amen? And then the second area of truth I might need to confront my feelings with is I need to confront my feelings when I'm being triggered, when I'm slipping into a rut. I need to confront those feelings with the reality, the truth of what is actually happening in the situation. Let me explain this. The brain is so wild, the way that our physical chemical makeup works, and it's this thing that God created, and only God can really understand it and unwind it, even to our best efforts, the brightest and the best on the planet. It's really all just a guess at the end of the day. That's what the Bible says, who can discern the human heart? Only God knows. That's what the word says, okay? But what we think happens, psychologists believe that when you have a traumatic memory, let me say it this way. Bad memories, traumatic memories, are stored differently in your brain than good ones are. And the way that we remember good things, you know what, Freddie? That's why I say remember the good old days. You know what I mean? Because when we're triggered to remember something good, we actually remember that happened sometime in the past and we're not experiencing it right now. But we believe that for whatever reason, the brain stores negative memories, traumatic memories, bad memories in a different part of the brain. And when you're triggered in those memories, you don't remember, your feelings are triggered, and you don't remember it as something that happened in the past. Your brain flips this switch and tells you that it's happening right now. Does that make sense? So, I don't want to get too graphic here, but maybe someone who has experienced some sort of sexual abuse or some kind of deep physical abuse as a child can be maybe years later wrestling around, playing around, bantering around, and all of a sudden can be held down and instantly be triggered into that event and into that moment, and they freak out and lose their mind. And it's because something flipped in their mind, and in their mind, they were right back at that place of trauma where they were 15, 20, 30, however many years ago, and they don't remember it as a memory as something happened. Even though in your mind, you know that it's not happening right now, but you feel like it's happening right now. Does that make sense? And that's why those feelings and those triggers can be so intense, okay? So I need, when I begin to feel myself slipping into those ruts, I've got to confront that trigger with the truth of what is actually happening right now, even though my brain and my feelings will be telling me exactly the opposite, okay? So, I don't know. Maybe, ladies, you change your hair up and you really are excited for your husband to see it. And he comes home from work or whenever you see each other, and he doesn't notice it, doesn't mention it. And maybe without even knowing it or realizing it, that triggers a feeling that you have from your past where you felt like you were ignored and not seen and not noticed by maybe your parents. And so you get very upset with your husband who's not noticing the change that you made for him, thinking that he was going to be really excited about it. And so you begin to get, and so then you slip into that rut, okay? You slip into the rut, and you begin to respond in a way that creates a problem, creates a fight, okay? Again, this is not letting men, we should notice and see our wives, amen, somebody, okay? This is not letting us off the hook to say, leave us alone. But what it is saying is, I need to, before I slip into that rut, I might need to confront my trigger with the truth that this is not my father or my mother or whoever who ignored me and never saw me and made me feel abandoned and made me feel alone as a child. This is my husband. This is the one I love who has promised to take care of me, has promised to be there for me, and who has been there for me for years and years and years. This is not the same thing. Amen, somebody? Well, I don't know if it's quiet because we're thinking. I don't know. It's a weird quiet in here right now. Or maybe I'm sitting down in somebody's living room too much. I might need to confront my truth, my trigger with a truth. And I'm not saying this is necessarily, I'm just as an example. When my wife questions me about a decision that I'm making or says, hey, why are we doing this or why are we doing that or what about this or what about that? I might snap back to something in my childhood. I'm not saying I do. I'm saying I might snap back to something in my childhood where I was questioned a lot and where I was told I was no good and where I was told I couldn't make any sense and I would never be anything or make anything. And I might snap back to that and slip into that rut. And I might need, and so I start to respond with, well, who you think you are? I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to prove, but I'm not, I've already proved myself to her and without even knowing it, I'm trying to prove myself to the people that doubted me years ago. But I slip into that rut. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? And so I might need to confront that trigger with the truth of this is my wife who believes in me, who cares for me, who has promised to be my side, who has walked with me all these years. This is not the, I don't need to prove anything to her. She's just curious. Come on, somebody. I need to confront my triggers with the truth of God's word and then the truth of what is actually happening. I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, my husband really is a jerk. He really does ignore me. Listen, let's do this. How about this? Before you're convinced of that, let's just start over from here and let's decide that I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you are not the person that actually caused the trauma that is triggering this moment right now. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that that's not what's happening, and I'm going to try to combat that and confront that truth. Amen? And if they prove, the relationship proves, that is what's happening, you got two, well, you got one choice you don't have a choice in, and the other choice you're going to have to decide. You can either walk away from that relationship and decide that's too triggering, that's too toxic, I'm not going to go down that road because you've proven that I gave you the benefit of it, or either way, whether you choose to stay, choose to go. And I'm not talking, this is friendship, work relationship, whatever thing, whether I choose to stay or go, I'm going to have to forgive either way. Amen? Benefit of the doubt, and then walk in forgiveness. Amen? You know why we should do that? You know why I know I should do that? I know I should definitely do that because I need you to give me the benefit of the doubt. And I need you to walk in forgiveness towards me. Amen? So I'm going to give to you what I know I need you to give to me, vice versa. We can begin to manage. You're going to get triggered, but hopefully we can begin to manage them. We can overcome them. Listen, we can overcome triggers with truth. And then the second thing we're going to do is we're going to redeem those triggers, okay? I want to redeem. Do you know this? This is a theme that we see all throughout Scripture, what I've seen God work a million times over in life. No, oh God, it's so good. Don't miss this. No pain, no trauma for the son and daughter of God is ever wasted. Amen? There is nothing that the enemy will not put on your life and try to attack you with that God doesn't want to redeem and use for your growth, for your betterment, for your good, for your freedom. You follow me so far? There's no pain. There is no stress. There is no trauma. There is no trigger that will ever be wasted if I decide I'm going to let God not only help me to overcome these triggers, but I'm also going to take the next step and I'm going to redeem these triggers. Listen, I'm going to redeem triggers with growth and freedom. Okay? Growth and freedom. How are you going to grow? Here's what I'm going to do. When I begin to slip into a rut, just leave it up there for a minute. When I begin to slip into a rut, instead of getting defensive and just trying to swallow it and push it away, you know what? I might want to lean into it a little bit in a healthy way and then ask myself, here's the question. I need to get curious about it and go, why is this thing eliciting this response? Why did this conversation, why did this conversation lead me to slip into this rut and respond this way? And if I get curious about those triggers, and then as a son of, and as a daughter of God walking with Jesus, what we got to do is I need to invite God into that process. Holy Spirit. And this is going to need to be done later. You need to get it under control first, figure it out, confront with truth, get through the heightened state, right? And then say, God, why did I act that way? God, why did I respond that way? Why did I slip into that rut? Why did that elicit this response? Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Bring God into the process. And when I bring God into that process, guess what's going to happen? That's going to cause growth in my life spiritually. That's going to, the very least, God will do more, but the very least that'll happen is that I'll get closer to Jesus. Amen? Like even if I never feel like I get an answer, even if I never put my finger on it, even if it's just a thorn in my side that I've got to live with and give to God daily for years, if I continue to bring God into the process and get curious when I slip into those ruts and get curious when things are going to trigger me, at the very least, I will be walking with Jesus on a daily basis through my life, and that will pay unbelievable dividends. Amen, somebody? Okay? So I'm going to use my triggers and say, hey, that's a place where I can grow. That's a place where I can get closer to Jesus. That's a place, because, hey, listen, every trigger is a place I can grow, and every trigger is a place that I can experience freedom in Christ. If I've got a trigger, something that just sets me off, a word, a phrase, something happens, and it just creates it. I slip into this rut, and guys, at the end of the day, guys, that's emotional bondage. And I serve a Jesus that said, he who the Son sets free will make you free indeed. Amen? So if I've got something that's triggering me constantly, that's an area I can get free in Christ in. Amen? Okay? And that creates growth. And if I will get free from triggers instead of having them bind up my life, guess what? I'm redeeming. I'm redeeming the trauma. I'm redeeming the stress. I'm redeeming whatever caused that response in my life. That's for the glory of God. Okay? Now, I know I've talked a lot about brain stuff, probably stuff way above my pay grade, okay? I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a real simple preacher, but I'm telling you what I believe God's word is saying. Amen, somebody? Now, you might be saying, let me get to the preacher part of this. You might be saying, hey, you know, you're talking about, you know, football games and you're talking about, you know, simple stuff like a cluttered desk and a cluttered area. Man, my triggers are way deeper than that, preacher. The stuff that, the trauma that has created the triggers of my life, man, my triggers are way bigger than anything you're talking about, man. My triggers are way stronger, way, way more unbelievable than, listen, I get that. But here's the good news. No matter how strong, no matter how deep the ruts, no matter how traumatic the thing that created the trigger in your life, listen to me. My trigger is too strong. My trauma is too severe. I got real good news for you, friend. You're not doing it alone. And you're not expected to deal with it all by yourself. In fact, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Let's see what the very first verse that we read is. Listen, verse 11 says this. The Spirit of God. Oh, this is so good. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. He lives in you. The same spirit. The same life. The same anointing, if you need a church word. The same force, if you need a science fiction word. The same thing, if you need a real simple basic word. The same stuff. That rushed into a tomb, dug into a hillside 2,000 years ago, and gave life to the lifeless body of our crucified, broken, and beaten Savior. That same spirit. You understand, for Jesus to be raised from the dead is the same type of force it would take for this chair to get up and walk out of this room. They were both just as dead, just as lifeless, just as inanimate. And this word declares the truth of God's word is that the exact same power that brought life and resurrection to Jesus is the same power that is living on the inside of you. And that power can help you and me overcome every trigger, every trauma, every rut that we keep falling into, every response that's elicited through stressful events, all of those things that derail our day and have sometimes derailed our life and derailed our relationship. Listen to me. You and I, we have something inside of us that we can overcome it. I don't care how great and how deep, and I don't care because I'm not compassionate. I'm saying the greatest trauma that you might be thinking has built this trigger in your life. Friend, you and I have a hope, and we have something on the inside of us that will give us the power to both overcome and redeem it if we will be open to it and allow it to work in our lives. Amen. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can heal the rut in your life that was created from that assault. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can fill in the pattern and the rut that we slip into that was created from you feeling abandoned and alone as a child and that nobody saw you or loved you or gave a crap about you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you to help you and I overcome every one of those areas. If you believe that, say amen right now. Come on, if you believe that, shout amen right now. Come on, why don't you stand up all over this place right now? Can we just begin? Come on, I dare you right now, just begin to worship for a moment. Come on, just begin to lift up your hands. Why don't you just begin to thank Him? Why don't you just begin to thank Jesus that He, the same Spirit that lives, that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you? In fact, I dare you just to declare that over your life for a moment right now. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me. I do not have to fall into the same ruts. I do not have to have the same response. I am not a slave. I am not. This is what I want to say. I want to read another scripture that we read a minute ago. Because he says, because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you, just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same spirit living within you. And then verse 12, listen, therefore, dear brothers, that means because of the truth that I just said, this is what's now also true. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Let me apply that to exactly what we're talking about. I am not bound by my triggers in Jesus' name. I am not a slave to my trauma in Jesus' name. I am not a slave to the ruts that were born into my mind. I am not a slave to the things that try to take me out. I am not a slave to my triggers. I can overcome them because of the power of Jesus that lives on the inside of me today as a child, as a son, as a daughter of God. Ooh, that's good. That's good. I don't know if there could be any gooder news than that. I mean, that's as gooderest as it gets. In Jesus' name. Let's put that on the shirt, Eric. As gooderest as it gets, okay? Drive all the English people crazy. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to dismiss. Make sure you're signed up on emails. I got some other resources, some other Bible reading plans that's going to help us continue this journey, continue to grow, continue to figure this out. And I just want to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to ask you, just as we've been, can we just take a second? I'm going to lead you in prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me in just a minute. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit move. If you can, will you just raise your hands? He's asking, what are we doing this for? We raise our hands because it's just a sign of openness and surrender. He just says, man, Lord, I'm open to whatever you want to say, whatever you want to drop into my spirit in this moment. It's not really a weird, spooky thing, even though it may feel it. It's just a sign of openness to say, man, Lord, I'm open. Okay, you don't have to raise your hands as big as me. If you need to keep your elbows in your sides, that's fine. Just open up to the Father for a moment. And I want to encourage you, just repeat this prayer after me. Let's say this prayer. The same Spirit. Come on, everybody after me. The same Spirit. You at home again. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in me. Say it again. It's alive in me. Sometimes we need to repeat it a few times before to get through the walls of unbelief and doubt that live. The same Spirit, come on, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in me, and He is giving me the strength to overcome and redeem every trigger created by trauma. Declare this right now. I am not a slave to my triggers. Say it again. I am not a slave to my triggers or my trauma. In Jesus' name, I am a son or a daughter of God. Come on, say it again. I am a son or a daughter of God. Say it again. I am a son of God. Just declare that, men, over yourselves. Women, declare, I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God, led by the Spirit of God that lives in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name.